Hare Krishna. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 31. Dharman Bhagavatan Bruta Yadi Na Shrutaye. We did half yesterday, so we're on 30. Okay. Thank you. If I looked behind me, I would have known. Text 30. Ata atyantikam kshemam prichchamo bhavato anagha sangsaresmin kshanardhopi satsangaha shevadhir nirnam ata atyantikam kshemam prichchamo bhavato nukha sangsaresmin kshanardhopi satsanga shevadhir nirnam ata atyantikam kshemam prichchamo bhavato nakaha sangsaresmin kshanardhopi satsanga shevadhir nranam. Kshemam prichchamo bhavato nakha sangsaresmin kshanardhopi satsanga shevadhir nranam ata atyantikam kshemam bhavato nakha sangsaresmin kshanardhopi satsanga shevadhir nranam. Anyone else? Ladies? Ata atyantikam kshemam prichchamo bhavato nakha satsaresmin kshanardhopi satsanga shevadhir nranam ata atyantikam kshemam prichchamo bhavato nakha sangsaresmin kshanardhopi satsanga shevadhir nranam. Could we have a cell phone check? Please make sure your cell phones are switched off unless you're following the purport on it. Then switch it off. Ataha. Therefore. Atyantikam. Supreme. Shemam. Good. Prichchamaha. I am asking. Bhavataha. From you. Anakaha, O sinless ones, Sangsare, in the cycle of birth and death. Asmin, this, Kshana, Ardha, lasting only half of one moment. Api, even, Satsangaha, the association of devotees of the Lord. Shevati, a great treasure. Nirnam, for human beings. Translation. Therefore, O completely sinless ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what the supreme good is. After all, even half a moment's association with pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man.
The second part of the purport. One might object that since the great sages had just arrived, the king should not have been so impatient as to inquire from them about the perfection of the life. Perhaps the king should have waited until the sages themselves invited his inquiry. Such a hypothetical objection is answered by the word shanardo api. Even a single moment's association with pure devotee, or even half a moment's association, is sufficient to give one the perfection of life. An ordinary person who is offered a great treasure will immediately desire to claim such a treasure. Similarly, the king Nimi was thinking, why should I consider myself fortunate enough to have such great sages stay here for a long time? Because I am an ordinary person, undoubtedly you will soon be leaving. Therefore, let me immediately take the advantage of your holy association.
Okay, you can stop there for now. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jananjana Shalakaya Shakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Ata atyantikam kshemam prichchamo bhavatonaka sangsaresmin kshanardho pi satsanga shevatir nranam.
the nine yogendras, the great self-realized sons of Maharaj Rishabhdev, spontaneously appeared in order to visit King Nimi while the king was performing a sacrifice. So the king was overjoyed and welcomed the sages. And as pointed out here, he didn't observe the usual formalities of discourse. There was no shab kushal hai or any of that. Just, I'm so fortunate that you've come. Please tell me about Bhagavad Dharma. The question comes in the next verse. Here he's just glorifying the sages, and we'll find that in the next verse, immediately he asks, Prichchamo, I have a question. Atyantikam kshema, concerning the ultimate goal of life. You've come, but I don't know how long you'll stay. Sukadeva Goswami used to stay at the home of a householder long enough to milk a cow, and then he'd be gone. So you've come, but you may leave at any moment. I'm not such a great person that you'll stay for hours and hours for my sake. So I shouldn't waste time. Immediately, let me ask about the ultimate purpose of life or the ultimate engagement in the service of the Lord. Samsaresmin, in this material world, kshanartopi, satsanga shavit here. It's a very great fortune, a great treasure to get the association of devotees. All the other treasures will be lost. And even while we have them, they're sources of so much trouble and anxiety. But this treasure, the association of devotees, even if we just have it for a moment, that can change our whole life and bring us to the path of perfection. So you can continue.
The Saraswati. In this world, there are different varieties of mercy. But ordinary mercy cannot bring about the cessation of all unhappiness. In other words, there are many humanitarian altruists and social reformers who certainly work for the betterment of the humanity. Such persons are universally considered merciful. But in spite of their mercy, humanity continues to suffer in the grip of birth, old age, disease, and death. I may distribute free food to the needy, but even after eating my merciful gift, the recipient will again become hungry, or he will suffer in some other way. In other words, by mere humanitarianism or altruism, people do not actually become free from unhappiness. Their unhappiness is merely postponed or altered. King Nimi was joyful upon seeing the Navayogendras because he knew that they were eternally perfect associates of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he thought, "You are not prone to sinful activities like unfortunate mundane people such as me. Thus, the words you speak carry no deception or exploitation."
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati sometimes used a term that meant harm-giving kindness. We want to be kind, but because we are in ignorance, we don't know what real kindness is. And so we do something which, although intended to be kind, actually harms the person we're trying to help. Perhaps you know, at the end of World War II, the Americans and British, I suppose, liberated the concentration camps in Germany. So there were all these people who'd been worked practically to death. They were starving, they looked like skeletons. And the soldiers felt so moved that they took some of their own rations of food and were just tossing it to these prisoners. And the among those prisoners, those who were doctors told them, don't eat it because you can't take it. After months and months of hardly eating, now if you take this heavy soldier food, you'll die. But these were starving people. Practically, they ignored the advice of their doctors, or so many did, and they died. They survived the concentration camps only to die when the camps were liberated. So the intention was to be kind, but the result was to bring death. Harm giving kindness. So kindness is shown by those who are actually in knowledge. They're the ones who know how to give kindness, how actually to be kind. What is that? I think in Hamlet, I have to be cruel only to be kind. Even if the devotees sometimes seem cruel, they're being kind. The materialists are praised for being kind, for their altruistic work, for their humanitarian work, for their social reforms, for liberating countries, for so many wonderful things that they do to make this a better world. And according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it doesn't count as mercy, because this is not going to be a better world, ever. It always works by the same laws. Those who are destined to suffer must suffer one way or another. And our attempts to, you know, like you sometimes you push down a sheet in one place and it comes up in another place, or a carpet, you press it down here and it comes up there. That's how it works. We try to make things better here, but it's not going to be better. Or it will be better for some time, and then still disaster must come. Disaster means finally everyone has to die and everyone has to take another body. And by our mercy, we don't change that at all. The people that we feed still die and come back. The people that we give shelter to, the homeless people we give shelter to, die and come back. The people whose drug problems we solve, the people whose health problems we solve, the people whose mental problems we solve, the people whose we uplift financially, the people that we liberate from the prejudices of the old caste system, whatever it is, they all die and they all come back and they all keep revolving. And, you know, I liberated you from being a low caste person, and then you come back as a pig. What did I do for you? So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said about himself and about his Guru Maharaj, against everything. Everything that the materialists consider good, we're against it, practically speaking. Because it's all aimed at cheating. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Srila Sridhar Swami says, this is all Kaitava Dharma. It's all cheating. To improve someone's life, give someone a better life, to make people happy. They're not going to be happy. Or they'll be happy, but their happiness will be illusory and it will disappear and be replaced by suffering. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to do something different. There are so many altruistic movements, humanitarian movements, social reform movements, political reform movements, mental health movements, every kind of movement for improving people's lot. But the Krishna consciousness movement is not meant to improve our mental or physical situation. It's not meant to make us healthier or saner or richer or better adjusted or liberated from this material condition and transferred to that material condition. It's not meant to take the third class prisoners and give them the great fortune of becoming first class prisoners. It's not meant to take the prisoners, take those iron shackles off the legs of the prisoners and replace them with gold shackles. That's not the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. Our mission is jivasya tattva jigyasa, to inquire about the ultimate truth as Nimi Maharaj is doing. Atyantikam kshemam prichchamo. I'm inquiring from you about the ultimate gain. I don't want to know how I can, you know, counteract some bad stars in my chart or this or that or the other thing. I want to know about the absolute truth. And in the next verse specifically, he says, I want to know about Bhagavad Dharma. I want to know how to serve Krishna, how to revive my lost relationship with Krishna. That's his focus. That's his, he's jumping immediately, putting other things aside. Please tell me about that. Start again.
The materially conditioned souls spend their days and night discussing various topics of sense gratification. They never find time to hear about the transcendental knowledge. But if even only briefly or accidentally they hear Harikatha, topics of Krishna, in association of pure devotees of the Lord, their propensity to suffer in the material existence will slacken. When one sees the liberated person, hear about Krishna from them, remembers their saintly behavior and so on, one's tendency to bind himself in the illusion of sense gratification is diminished and he becomes eager to serve the Supreme Lord.
Shrotavyad nirajanjan rinam santi sahasrasaha apashyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedina. Those who are addicted to materialistic life have so many useless topics to talk about. Santi sahasrasaha. Thousands of topics. Prabhupada said, this means the newspapers. If he were here today, he might say, this means the internet. Thousands of useless topics so that we can waste our days and waste our nights talking about something that's ultimately of no consequence and no value. In the Bhagavatam, in the second canto, it's compared to the babble of sea waves. And we're hearing all this talk about economic development and four-year plans and electrification of villages and whatever it is. And from a distance, the distance at which the self-realized sages sit, it all sounds like you know, all those journal articles and newspaper articles and television broadcasts and parliamentary discussions. To the self-realized souls, it just sounds like blub, 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 blub. Just the babble of sea waves. But the conditioned souls think that that sound vibration is very valuable. And they're not interested in hearing the sound vibration of transcendence. But if they're so fortunate that they can get even brief association with a saintly person, a pure devotee of the Lord, everything can change. And that's our Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada came to the West and he encountered people who had no credit in spiritual realization, but just by a little association, they gave up their material interests and became interested in Krishna, exclusively interested in Krishna. Well, this is the benefit, and it's meant to go on and on buddhi bhartanam, I'm like waves. One wave pushes the next wave, pushes the next wave, next wave. So it's meant for expansion, that we hear about Krishna and then we speak about Krishna to others. We receive this treasure of Krishna consciousness, and not wanting to be misers, we distribute the treasure to others. And then the treasure increases. And everyone becomes happy, actually happy. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. The devotees want everyone to become happy, but not falsely happy. Not patchwork happy, not temporarily happy. Not superficially happy. Not apparently happy. Actually happy. Actually happy means yayatma su precedeti, that the soul becomes satisfied. Otherwise, Prabhupada said it's like pouring petrol in the car of a starving man. The petrol doesn't satisfy his hunger. Yantra rudhani maya, this body is the superficial vehicle, the outward vehicle of the soul. The soul has to be satisfied. And for that, Harikata. Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yachrinvatam rasagyanam svadu svadu pade pade. The sages at Naimisharanya said, we'll never get enough of Harikata. Go on speaking, go on speaking. Pade pade, at every step we're getting nectar. Anandam buddhi bhardana. So this is our business, our purpose, our good fortune to occupy our valuable time in seeking out the association of devotees, hearing from them Harikatha, and taking that Harikatha very seriously, considering it, internalizing it, as they say, and distributing it. Okay, I'll stop here. What questions? Okay, wherever the microphone goes is fine with me.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, the fact that there is an institution aspect to this movement, should we also consider these aspects in terms of, we are talking about altruistic activities and social reformer activities, but participating in it gives added value to it being an institution.
Excuse me?
I'm saying that we are talking about this altruistic activities and so on.
There are so many institutions for altruistic activities. Red Cross, Green Crescent, the Bharat Seva Sangh, whatever foundation Mr. Gates has founded. There's millions of charities for... In fact, I saw... there was some typhoon or something down south, and I happened to come to Bombay just at that time, and there was a big hoarding, and Sonia was appealing to people, you know, her fellow Indians, to help these poor stricken people. You know, because she's overflowing with Congress Party altruism. And a further report, I think it was from that same typhoon site, was that the actual welfare organizations that were best organized to help the people, their biggest problem was getting to those people because the roads were filled with people who wanted to be seen as altruists. You know, who were doing their little whatever it was so that they could publish it in their magazine or newspaper or newsletter. Us too. We helped. There were so many of those people that it made the best organized groups, gave those best organized groups difficulty in reaching the people. So the Krishna ISKCON is not meant to be another us too philanthropic organization. It's simply not. When Srila Prabhupada was here, he wrote to Giriraj Maharaj when Giriraj Maharaj was president of Ras Bihari Mandir and said, "Very good that you're distributing prasadam. Try to increase, but don't advertise. It'll be self-advertising. And do not go to the poor areas." He said, "Then it will become karmakanda." He said, "Our business is prasadam. Rich or poor, it doesn't matter. And they should come to our temple and take prasadam." He gave that instruction many, many times. We're not another poor feeding organization. There's plenty of those. And as pointed out in the purport, ultimately, they don't do anything. They fill the man's belly, and he's hungry the next day, or they fill his belly every day till he dies and comes back again. And then there's nothing they can do for him. So Srila Prabhupada compared that to blowing on a boil. Someone has a boil and, you know, you kiss it and make it better. That doesn't solve the problem. So ISKCON is not meant to be... Pure devotional service is Gyana Karmadya Navratam. So we're not meant to publish papers full of speculations because everyone else is speculating, so we should be seen as good speculators too. Nor is it meant for material upliftment because everybody values material upliftment, so we should be doing it too. There are plenty of institutions that don't do any welfare work whatsoever, and they're the most respected institutions in the world. How many people a day does Harvard University feed? How many poor people does Harvard University feed? Zero. How many orphans does it find homes for? How many blankets does it give to cold, shivering unfortunates? Zero, 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 zero. And do we look down as Harvard University as being a useless institution? It's simply not their business. They're not the Bharat Save Sangh, they're not the Red Cross, they're not the Green Crescent Society. They're an educational institution. And their reputation is, we give the best education in the world. You can leave aside, if you were accepted anywhere else and you're accepted at Harvard, it's understood, you leave all the other acceptances aside and you just accept Harvard's because they're at the top. And people give millions of dollars to Harvard University. They have a huge capital fund. No one says, "Oh, well, they're not feeding people. We shouldn't give them any money." So our business also is education, but a better education than Harvard's. Harvard teaches you how to rot in this material world successfully. And we teach people how to get out of this material world, go back to Godhead for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the service of Krishna. That's our mission. And we should keep our eyes on that mission and not be distracted by other things. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Some other question? Sukama chantikam yata pur. I do a fair amount of management in the course of my duties. So the management of the microphone is up to you. Ah, Mahaprabhu.
Your question answer session is wonderful.
Good questions.
We should make a book, Question Answers of Maharaj. Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's philosophy or Krishna consciousness teachings are wonderful. Recently I attended one function in which about few hundred doctors were present, and one doctor with the top of the big hospital, Tata Memorial Hospital, Bombay, the head of that institution, he said, "I am very well placed in the society. I have children. They are also highly educated and well placed, and grandchildren. I have got everything which ever in material world people are trying to get. But after getting everything, I'm 65, but I don't know what is the purpose of life. With the purpose of life only, get the children educated, get them married, get them big house, big car, big things. I have done everything. And I'm in highest position, but I'm not able to understand. So the point is, today, one side, you are giving us high philosophy. It's wonderful, but day-to-day life, people are not able to relate it.
I don't know. Of course, there are those who will not accept this message. You're fools. You're wasting your time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Even that. But why are you not doing something useful to make this a better world? You're simply, there are those who won't accept it. But there are those who will. And we consider it a success if even one person takes it. Prabhupada said that we should not decrease our standards to cater to the ignorant masses. He was giving that instruction about back to Godhead. Not that because they are interested in so many mundane topics, we have to write articles about so many mundane topics so that they'll read our magazine. If they want mundane topics, they can read some other magazine. where they're sincerely interested in those mundane topics, and the authors are all expert, and they'll run circles around us in their ability to spin words. And but our business is to glorify Krishna, even if it's in broken language, even if it's on third-class newsprint. This is what we do. We don't put our finger in the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and say, we're going to go that way. Mahajana yena gata sapanta. We follow the acharyas. And other people may not want to follow the acharyas. They may think we're fools for following the acharyas. But we're going to follow them. Prabhupada said, well, in so many ways Prabhupada said that. Not that to please the ignorant public, we have to appear to be something that they like. If we do that, the people who are looking for what we actually have to offer won't find us. You know, if a doctor is disguising himself as an attorney, then a man looking for a doctor is not going to find him. In the Bible, Jesus says, if you have a candle, don't hide it under a basket. We're not supposed to cover up Krishna consciousness with so many other things that we think people will like. Fortunate people will like this. If they want something else, it's amply available in the marketplace, and there are people doing a better job of distributing that stuff than we do. But we should stick to our business. If Harvard lowered its admission standards, it could get more students. They don't do that. They keep the highest standards and say, we'll take the best people. That's what we do. We give the absolute message as it is. The Prabhupada told one newspaper reporter, what was it? He asked some question of Prabhupada in an airport about East and West or something like that. Or this religion, that religion. Prabhupada said, we don't care about that. He said, our business is to preach the truth, and if you're honest, you'll accept it. That's what Prabhupada did. He didn't compromise. He said, my Guru Maharaj never compromised, I never compromised, nor should any of my students ever compromise. People like Mayavad. Mayavad is more popular than Krishna consciousness. Should we start teaching Mayavad? And keep the thing pure. This is the material world. It's easy for anything to be contaminated. Jnana Karmaja Navratam. We should keep Krishna consciousness in its pure form and not run after the public and try to satisfy them with something we think they'll be interested in. Now that's not an absolute, you know. In China, the devotees preach a little yoga. They teach a little yoga, they attract people, and people come and become Krishna conscious. All right. But if it becomes our general practice to be known for something other than what we are, we'll become interested in something other than what we are. That's what will happen. We shouldn't do that. Another question.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Where are you?
Here, here.
Ah, okay. Hare Krishna.
Why is material prosperity considered as a bad thing, even if someone is doing bhakti, also is doing 16 round chanting and attending Bhagavatam class? So is material prosperity and too much inclination, I mean, of course, to get the material prosperity, one has to focus on his business also. But is it a real hindrance for in the spiritual path?
Yes. Janmaisharya Shuta Shribir Edamana Madhapuman. If we become, the trouble with wealth is that we become intoxicated by it and we become entangled by it. When Sudama Brahman went to Dwarka, he went to, on the request of his wife, that please ask Krishna for a little help, we're in poverty. And he was well received at Dwarka, but then Krishna, he didn't ask for anything and Krishna didn't give anything. So as he was on his way home, he was thinking that Krishna is so kind that he knew that if he gave me any opulence, I would become puffed up and I would forget him, or I would diminish in my devotional service. So he's so kind, he didn't give me anything. That's how he was thinking. Of course, Krishna gave him everything, a palace greater than Indra's, everything like that, because he knew that, and Sudama lived there the same way as he lived in his hut. He was unaffected. So Krishna knew, I can give Sudama any amount of wealth, it's not going to change him. The devotees on the highest platform can accept any amount of money, any amount of anything, and not be affected. Haridas Thakur was able to engage a prostitute in Krishna's service and not become affected. Narad Muni engaged a serpent in Krishna's service and didn't get poisoned. But the danger is that we become prosperous. First of all, becoming prosperous means, in Bhagavatam it said, that the king who has a big turban on his head drowns faster. He has all that weight, he goes down with it. We become prosperous, we become busy in protecting our prosperity, wealth management, and we identify ourselves as the proprietors of that wealth. We become fearful that we may lose that wealth. We become suspicious of other people because they're probably interested in taking my wealth, even if they're friends or family members. We think that, and I can't eat more than the same four chapatis. It's not that because I have more wealth, I can enjoy more, or I become wiser, or even that my life becomes happier. I've quoted in my book a passage from a Greek work where a king is saying that by having this wealth, I don't get a drop more happiness. It's only that I have to guard more, and I have greater responsibilities, greater burdens, and so on. So wealth is an impediment for those who are trying to make spiritual progress. And therefore, even the householders who are prosperous are told, get rid of half your wealth. Get rid of half of it. not by dumping it overboard, but by investing it in the service of the Lord. Our nature is to take all of it and think, I need it. You know, because my, you know, the rent or the mortgage in Petter Road is this much, and my office costs that much, and my child's education costs this much, and I can't live on less than 2 crores a year. Or whatever the number is. And just to make ends meet, I have to have that much money. It doesn't really change. If you go up, then your expenses increase. One becomes preoccupied with wealth, intoxicated by wealth. Every scripture in the world warns us against wealth. I was reading a book about Saudi Arabia and its origins. And at a certain point, they discovered oil in Saudi Arabia. And the ruler was troubled about that because he foresaw that people will become wealthy and materialistic and they'll forget about Allah. They'll forget about God. So it doesn't matter whether you read the Quran, you read the Bhagavad Gita, you read the Bible, you read anything, they'll all tell you wealth is problematic for anyone who wants to make spiritual progress. The only way to not be caught by wealth is to use it in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, it'll drag us down. If we use it in the service of Krishna, then it becomes disinfected. Prabhupada was, you know, from a material calculation, how much wealth was at his command? He had students who were bringing him, you know, like $100,000 a month. He had disciples who were heirs to industrial fortunes. So how much, you know, if you calculated how much money was at his disposal, he was one of the, you know, biggest people in India. But every paisa went for Krishna's service. He didn't dress better, he didn't invest in apartments for himself or this or that. He was getting so much money and spending for Krishna Balaram. He was getting so much money and spending for Radharas Bihariji. Whatever it was all spent for Krishna. And therefore he wasn't affected. So one has to be very careful with prosperity. It's not that we're saying, you know, go backwards, find a community of huts someplace here on the bank of a river in the Bombay area and throw away everything and get a couple tin sheets to live under. We're not saying that. According to our destiny, someone becomes rich, someone becomes less rich, someone becomes poor, and it can't change it. Just like Prabhupada said, you're Americans, you'll have the same standard of living wherever you go, because it comes with the body. It comes with the body. So that's even a problem, you know, money chases after you. So if it's our destiny, we have to accept it, but we should be very, very careful to use it all in Krishna's service. Is that okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned about taking seriously Harikatha and internalizing it. So will you please help how we can Tivrena internalize the bhakti?
How we can be
Tivrena,
serious devotional, by the association of those who are Tibra. By the association of those who are serious about Harikatha, we become serious about Harikatha. If we associate with people who talk politics all the time, you know, we'll get drawn in and say, well, you know, actually, it's not very much interest to me. But if you ask me, Modi's blah, 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 blah. It's just inevitable. According to our association, we'll be affected. So therefore, the saintly people seek out the association of devotees because the devotees will speak about Krishna. If you're interested in business, you go to the businessmen's association, the business meetings, the so many things that have to do with business. If you're interested in politics, you go to that side. If you're interested in humanitarian welfare work, you go to the meetings of the humanitarian welfare workers and you talk about all the people who are suffering and we could help. And if you're interested in Hari, then you go to the association of Hari Bhaktas and there'll be Hari Katha. That's what ISKCON is meant for. Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Hridyantasto Hibadrani Vidhunoti Suritsutam. All the unwanted things in the heart will be cleansed away by hearing Harikatha. So we're meant for hearing about Krishna and speaking about Krishna, broadcasting the message of Krishna. And Krishna is all attractive. Fortunate souls will be, but let me hear about Krishna. Let me hear about Krishna. Our program is simple. Kirtan, Harikatha, little philosophy, and Krishna Prasad. What is it? Chanting, dancing, feasting, philosophy. That's and it's a successful formula. It will work. Another question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. As you said that we need to be very straightforward and we stick to the Prabhupada's words even in preaching. So as a practitioner, when we see in ISKCON, nowadays we see that there are many literatures are coming up.
There are many?
Literatures and so newer and newer.
Literatures, yes.
Newer and newer books written by many devotees. So sometimes we see those books directly don't speak about Krishna Katha or about the principles.
Excuse me?
They sometimes don't speak directly about Krishna conscious philosophy. Sometimes they have been written in a way to attract some general masses. So those books also comes into the hands of devotees.
Well, you have to see. The purpose of the book should be to bring someone to deliver the message of Krishna consciousness. So if you have some technique or some strategy or something, and it brings people to Krishna consciousness. They hear about Krishna, they get the message of Krishna. Then it's a success. If at the end of the book, all they know is how to lead a less stressful life, how to have a better relationship with their spouses, or how to have a deeper insight into politics, and there's no substance of Krishna consciousness, then it was a failure. Yeah, then what is the use of it? That's the general statement of Bhagavatam, that literature in which there's no glorification of the Lord is crow literature. Ka-ka-ka, ka-ka-ka, ka-ka-ka. Kawa Purana. Kama Purana, yes. And literature which is full of the glories of Krishna, even if it's imperfectly composed, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadhana. Honest people will accept it. So it's like Prabhupada, he had an idea for a book of conversations about philosophers. So he talked about the philosophers, but then he gives the message of Krishna. It's not just that at the end of the book you know all about Socrates. You know about Krishna, that's the point. Is that all right?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your enlightening answers. I had a question regarding, just like when we practice Krishna consciousness, the culture around you helps you to progress in Krishna consciousness. So there is a necessity of a culture or environment around you. So isn't that important? We also look after the culture of the society.
What do you mean by culture?
Culture means the social structure, the environment around you, a society, outside, even outside ISKCON also. So we need to take care of them also, of protecting a culture of a country, of an area, or of
a... What culture? Do you mean Bombay culture?
Ancient
are you
culture.
Seriously proposing that Bombay culture should be preserved and glorified? I mean, is that your point?
No, my point was that to practice a spiritual life, we need a, just like in ancient India, there was a certain social structure, certain
That's
ways of
required.
Living.
Culture means that there's four spiritual orders and four social orders, and they're all organized for serving Krishna. That's culture. Anything other than that, you can call it what you want, but this is culture. Just like art. When art glorifies Krishna, that's the desired culture. When music glorifies Krishna, then that's the desired culture. When film glorifies Krishna, that's culture. Everything. When everything's organized for the service of Krishna, that's culture. Just like Prabhupada said that he was writing now about 50 years ago, he said 50 or 100 years ago in all the villages of India, people in the evening used to gather and hear Hari Katha. That was even Prabhupada's experience, that he would go to some village where some relative was there, and in the evening there'd be Hari Katha, and they'd go to sleep thinking of Hari Katha. It was all Hari Katha. Where is that now? We have to electrify every village so that every village can have television, and they can go to sleep thinking of whatever's broadcast on Durbhagya Darshan. Krishna Consciousness Movement is actually giving divine culture through literature, through art, through music, through kirtan, through the service of the deity, through satsanga. Did that answer your question?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, you spoke about the fact that catering to the making the society happy is not really our business. Our business to
it is our business. We want to make the whole society happy,
But not through the conventional mundane means. That's what you
said. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. When the shastra says that, it doesn't mean we want a chicken in every pot. That was a slogan of one of our American politicians many, many years ago. I think he got elected too. A chicken in every pot. Everyone will. That's not what sarve sukhino bhavantu.
So as devotees, you know, somewhere after some years in Krishna consciousness, when we come in, we hear about the fact that Krishna consciousness is blissful, and we do experience it, which is what kind of attracts us and we get hooked. But after some years in Krishna consciousness, with or without, you know, some engagement, we tend to become little, sometimes morose. There are ups and downs, sort of ups and downs that we face in Krishna consciousness. So how do we reconcile this? Because somewhere we are looking for happiness in the activities of Krishna consciousness, but even that, after some time, we become complacent, we take these things for granted, and they become mechanical. Well,
That's the proof of the philosophy, that when we become lackadaisical, when we become complacent, when we become inattentive, then we become morose. Therefore, tivrena, devotional service, should be performed with force. It's like a businessman, he doesn't slack off after a while and say, I got enough money. It's never enough. As soon as he hears about some way to get more, his ears perk up and his mind starts, the wheels start turning in his mind. So we want to cultivate that consciousness so that we can vayam tu nava tripyam, we never get enough. Bhuya katya triptir hi shrinvato nasti mebhita. I never get enough of this nectar. So that requires concentration, that requires strong association, that requires regular hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. If we follow this program, we won't be morose. Prabhupada was starving and dying and he wasn't morose. What is that? Sukham achyantikam yatat buddhi grahyam atindriyam yatra tribayam stittas chalatita yam labdva chapram labham manyate nadikam tataha yasmin stata nadukena guruna pivichalyate. When one gets the ultimate happiness, when he comes to the platform of transcendental happiness, he enjoys life through transcendental senses and he's not interested in anything else. And even the heaviest difficulties don't move him out. That's what we're after. Is that okay? Another question.
Hare Krishna. And also Maharaj. Maharaj, I have a problem of discounting tivrena with the kids, with children. We say, sometimes if we want to go for Mangalarti, we say, okay, we'll let them sleep, we will go for Mangalarti. So how do, and that's not good in terms of, that's what I feel, Maharaj. So how should we encourage our children, Maharaj, in understanding
this is a big topic. And it's not my area of expertise. Prabhupada's direction was Brahmacharya Gurukule Vasan Danta Gururhita. The children should be sent to the Gurukul, the boys should be sent to the Gurukul, and they should learn how to live like slaves. That is, slaves of the spiritual master, just like Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's going out into the forest to collect firewood for his guru. Because that's culture. Culture means, when does culture start? It starts, what is that? Komara tre pragya dharman. Actually, it starts even before conception, but we'll start here. It starts from childhood. So So how important is it, if we want to have a real culture, for the children to be culturally trained? Therefore, Prabhupada's direction was that they should go to the Gurukul and be trained in control of the mind, control of the senses, dedication to Krishna, and the real purpose of life. I was just, who was it? Anyway, I have so much experience of householders who, as their children grow up, the parents become disappointed because they are raising the children to be materially successful and Krishna conscious, and they became materially successful. Only. Which means failure. So it's not such an easy thing. And if we try to mix everything, we may be disappointed. We may be disappointed. So this was, you know, Prabhupada was very focused. I don't know anything else to tell you about how to, you know, balance everything and, you know, create the, you know, the wealthy, Krishna-conscious, demigod, putra. You know, this was Prabhupada's direction. Brahmacharya Guru Kule Vasandanta Guru. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is not my argument or question, Maharaj. What I hear from others, I'm asking. Sometimes we hear this logic that Krishna spent only 11 years in Vrindavan and more than 100 years in Dwarka and Mathura doing administration, management, making the world a good place, killing the demons, etc. It's not Vrindavan Leela is not so important, but the other part, what Krishna did more than 100 years, that is...
All right, so you absorb yourself in reading about Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka, we'll be happy. If you think the Dwarka Leela is more important, then all right, you read about the Dwarka Leela, but you're not actually interested in Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna in Dwarka, or Krishna anywhere else. You're interested in your own self and your own material agenda, and you want to bring Krishna in to, you know, like the way you put a little sugar flour on a cake. You're not serious. Krishna's business in Dwarka was not... Anyway, even in Vrindavan, he was doing management. He was managing cows. and thousands of them. You try it. You try and manage 1,000 cows. Krishna's not your mundane... materialistic king, trying to make a better world for eating. I was in Dubai, and there was a newspaper article, and the ruler was quoted that, "I want my subjects to have the highest standard of living." That's not Krishna's interest. I want my living entities or my devotees to have the highest material standard of living and suffer. Krishna's business is how to perform his pastimes so that people will be attracted. That's what he was doing in Dwarka. Performing transcendental activities so that we could read about them and become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Whether it's in Dwarka, whether it's in Mathura, whether it's in Hastinapur, wherever he, and in, whether in this incarnation or that incarnation, that's the business. Not to bless your material life. People want to use Krishna for their sense gratification. And why should I be God's servant? I can bring God into my service. I can use his book to sell my book. I can use his life to justify my life. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, question is from Maharaj Bharat.
Excuse me, just one thing. And if you really think that Krishna is performing activities in Dwarka to give you an idea of what you should be doing, marry 16,000 women. And build a palace for each one. And live with all of them individually at the same time. That's what Krishna was doing in Dwarka. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Question is from Maharaj Bharat section from Bhagavatam. Bharat Maharaj leaves everything.
What's that?
Bharat Maharaj leaves everything. Hmm. He renunciated everything. Still he got attached to that deer.
Hmm.
First phase is that.
Hmm.
How to understand this thing?
Just see that even such a person as Bharat Maharaj, who was so advanced, became attracted to a little deer. Oh, the deer's lost its mother. How will it live? I have to take care of him. Now, where's the deer gone? Some tigers might be hunting him. I've neglected the deer. He became deer conscious. Absorbed in thought of a deer, in spite of being so advanced. Therefore, it's a warning to us how careful we should be to stay focused on Krishna consciousness and not become attracted to anything else. What is that? Manyate na adikam tataha. No. What am I thinking? Anyway, we should not be thinking of anything else. Two verses are in my mind and they're all half there and not where they should be. Bharat Maharaj was almost perfect. He'd reached the stage called Bhava, which is the just prior stage to pure love of Krishna. But it's not pure love of Krishna. He wasn't on the highest stage. And therefore, he could still fall down. And then what to speak of us? What stage are we in? So how careful we should be not to turn right, not to turn left, not to go here, not to go there. Mama Maya Duracchaya. And the other lesson is that even though he fell down and became attracted to a deer, because of his past practice, Krishna saved him. But it took three extra births. Or it took three births. So we should be, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given an easy method. Chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy. If we stay absorbed in that, then Maya won't capture us. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Then he got next birth in deer body. Hmm? He was fully Krishna conscious in that body also.
Yes.
So he might have gone in that body to Golok Vrindavan Dham, but he got his birth as a Jad Bharat.
Yes. That's Krishna's arrangement. It was a special, generally speaking, deer aren't Krishna conscious. They're food conscious, or she-deer conscious, but not Krishna conscious. But by Krishna's special mercy, as a deer, he was Krishna conscious. And then by Krishna's arrangement, he took his next birth as Jodhpadat, and then back to Godhead. It's not a mechanical thing. It's finally as Krishna desires. Is that okay? I think our time is up, isn't it? 10 o'clock, we're supposed to stop.
Yes, Maharaj, it's just a thank note.
Time's come. Thank you all very much.
I'd like to express our heartfelt gratitude to His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj that he came and spent 5 days and all 6 days giving everyday Bhagavatam class. Many of the devotees were attending online and really excited and giving such clear thinking. As one person says, the main thing is to keep the main thing, and Maharaj has always made that clear. So we like to thank Maharaj and invite Maharaj more and more to our temple here and give classes. So let us express our heartfelt gratitude to Maharaj by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!